murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
All my life, I wanted to be a gangster.
Me too.
This is Decoding the Crime Verse. And if you haven't picked up, what we're doing today?
Guys, can I tell you the excitement I have right now?
It is exhilarating to do this topic because, for me, this is the reason I started liking crime in
this
the first place.
This is my favorite part of crime.
That sounded wrong. Okay, she meant it in a good way.
It's my favorite part to study. You know, like that. I don't know.
If I had to go back, all I'm saying.
1920s.
If I had to go back.
1920s gangsters. I don't think you get anything more. I don't even know the word to use to describe this.
They are just
another
inspiration
level.
On another level.
I mean, I know what they did was not technically right and moral, but you cannot deny the genius behind organized crime and the mafia.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know what a gangster is, the Wikipedia definition says a gangster is a criminal who's a member of a gang. Guys,
Wikipedia needs to go and sit down with the real gangsters.
Most gangs are considered to be part of organized crimes. Gangs provide a level of organization and resources that support much larger and much complex criminal transactions than an individual criminal could achieve. Gangsters have been active for many years in countries around the world.
But we know
the time that they shone?
Yeah.
Okay, English. Was the 1920s.
Yes. And we know the center of all of this is the mob bosses of New York in the 1920s. Oof. It is like the place, if there's one place that I could just revisit.
New York.
If I could visit, it's 1920s
New York.
New York.
Mm. The roaring or Chicago.
20s. Or Chicago. Yeah. The roaring 20s was a period in history of dramatic social and political change. We saw prohibition come into play.
But not only that, the Roaring Twenties was this time of pleasure. It was a time we've just come out of this war. So for those who don't know, America was basically the real winner of the wars because they got to loan out a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any fighting on their land. So they came out of World War One booming. We had the speakeasies. We had people literally jolling left, right and center.
If I was alive back then, I'd want to own a speakeasy. It was a place to be and to own in those times.
And people started moving from the farms into the cities.
Yeah.
And it just became, honestly, guys, an entire vibe. An entire jazz vibe. That's all I can say.
Yeah, like, basically the 20s jazz and crime.
But then we had the prohibition. So for those who don't know, it was the ban on the sale and distribution of alcohol. And the whole idea was that if we ban the alcohol, we'll have less alcoholism. We'll have like more decent people running around on the streets.
That didn't work.
People literally say it completely backfired.
Yeah.
And the reason was now there's this low supply of alcohol and this huge demand. And guess who took this opportunity?
The gangsters.
And they took it full force. And the prohibition literally, it played right into the hands of the mob. Okay. And it actually transformed the mob. They begin creating and distributing illegal alcohol. They open the speakeasies. They were bootleggers, which is an illegal alcohol seller. And, well, that's how they then started making their profits. And with that, then, as the industry grew, prostitution, brothels opened up. We had the rise of heroin come up. And it just kind of started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was all because of the prohibition.
For me, an accurate picture of what the 1920s are, if you're looking for, because you Google and then they don't really show you what happened back then. But true. An accurate picture, well, as accurate as we can possibly get, is Gatsby.
Oh,
if
guys,
you
Gatsby.
Watch Gatsby, you see the gangsters, you see
wait,
the whisperers,
wait,
you see
wait.
Them.
If you have not watched The Great Gatsby,
why?
What are you doing
who are you?
With your life? Finish this show and go and watch that movie.
You need
okay.
to.
I'm telling you.
I
I'm
had
not
someone
asking,
tell me
I'm
it
telling.
Was useless because of the ending. They were like, what was the
they
point of the
they don't appreciate
movie?
The ending.
You don't understand how much you get from Gatsby.
Guys, if I have to go into the ending of Gatsby, we can wait for Christmas. Let's move on. But... And it wasn't just that they were running these speakeasies
yeah.
and all of that. They also had judges on their payroll,
yeah.
cops on their payroll.
Yeah.
They were getting away literally with murder by
yeah.
paying it off. And this is when the crime actually became organized, because they started running their mafias like an actual business. And, well, honestly, I think that's why it started to
they
thrive.
Had mob conferences. Who has a conference for criminal activity? These people were
they even
too
there
brilliant.
Was one conference where Frank Sinatra played at.
Yeah.
Okay.
These people were friends with people in high
celebrities,
places.
Everything. So that is basically a rundown of the 1920s, and that's just setting the scene. And we are going to look today at two mobsters. And the first one we're looking at, I think, is my favorite gangster ever. Well, top five.
Yeah, he's
but
definitely in the top five.
We have Charles Lucky Luciano.
I'm sorry, by the name of Charles, I'm not scared of you. Like,
but
I'm Charles.
But everyone used to call him Lucky.
Lucky, yeah.
They'd be like, Lucky this, Lucky that.
Yeah.
He was born on the 24th of November 1897 in Sicily, Italy, and died in 1962. Back in Naples, Italy. And he was actually born Salvatore Luciana, but he changed his name when he came to America.
I would have changed my name if my name was Salvatore.
Salvatore. Although that's kind of, I feel like that's more intimidating than Charles.
Salvatore!
Dun, dun, dun.
No, Salvatore is like your library
eerie.
Assistant.
Oh, wow. So Luciano basically is said to have created the American Mafia into what it is
yeah.
today. And he achieved more than any other mobster ever did in the Mafia. He set the stage for what the Mafia is today with his group of Italian mobsters, which was Bugsy Siegel, Maya Lansky, Frank Casello, and Vito Genovese. And basically, these men, they changed everything.
Yeah.
They
in,
changed
not in a
everything.
Good way, but in a good way.
In a good way for the mob. Well, not for ordinary people.
For the criminal. Wait, can I just announce right now, if anyone is having a mob conference, I would like an invitation.
Yes, please.
Not that I'd attend if the cops are listening, but I will attend if the mobsters are listening. He moved to America at the age of 10.
And he actually became a gunman for Joe the Boss Masseria in 1920s, and then later went to work for Arnold Rothstein. Now, Arnold Rothstein was... He taught Luciano to be the businessman that he
yeah.
became. And what most people say about Luciano was you get two types of people. You get the people with the brains, and then you got the people who are like the muscle
yeah.
and like who have the courage and
yeah.
stuff to do everything. They said the reason why he thrived is because he had both.
Mm.
So he was willing to do anything and everything necessary to get to the top. Which he did.
Yep.
Okay. He didn't assassinate one. No. He assassinated two of the highest gangsters at the time.
And he was smart enough not to take over both really quickly. That's what they said. They said he...
Well, what happened was there was actually a war between these two bosses.
Yeah.
Called the... Guys, this is very Italian. It is the Castellammare War. And basically what happened was it was Masseria versus Maranzano, and Lucky then turned his back on Masseria because he was upset that Masseria was kept taking parts of his profits.
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, screw this. I want to be at the top. So he turned over to Maranzano and said, okay, fine, I'll then help you assassinate Masseria. And that did happen. They gunned him down in his favorite restaurant. all that kind of stuff. And then, but the problem was Maranzano then said, okay, cool, we'll then work together. And Lucky had said, okay, but no more boss on bosses.
Yeah.
And Maranzano went back on that
yeah.
and declared himself the boss on bosses. Yeah. And Luciano was like,
Nope, not going to happen.
And then he had Maranzano assassinated by Murder Inc., which we'll get to when we speak to about our next guy. And he basically inherits the crime family.
But what I loved the most about him is when we looked at crime bosses before this guy, they would basically work in isolation from people. He actually took families together.
No,
and he's like,
exactly.
This is the structure. This is how
he created order.
Yes.
It was a business. And they even created the commission,
yeah.
which was the heads of the five New York families, which had the say in everything, life and death. If you wanted someone killed, you had to get it approved by the commission.
Families,
if you wanted to open a new speakeasy, you had to get it approved by the commission. And you know what? Honestly, I think that's what made it so successful
yeah.
was that there was order and there was structure and you didn't do anything unless you had approval.
Imagine standing before these five families and you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Do you kill yourself?
Jump off a bridge.
I would just throw myself.
Jump off a bridge.
Like, I don't even know what I would do at that point.
And basically, the commission's purpose was to oversee all mafia activity and to resolve conflict between the families.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, right, we are trying to evade the law and the police are our big enemy. We shouldn't be fighting
amongst other, yeah.
ourselves because then we're going to be screwed. So that was the whole point, which honestly, genius, Auntie. I'm just saying.
And basically, we see how he started going into the prostitution segment of
this
crime.
Was his downfall. Okay.
Why did you do it?
It makes me so angry.
If he stayed out of that, they wouldn't have anything to hold him in prison.
He basically caught the attention of a prosecutor named Thomas Dewey, and he was a guy who could not be bribed.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dewey, he put tapping on the phones. He did everything in his power. He wanted Luciano behind bars. And guess what he gets him on? Not all the murders. No. Not the speakeasies. Not the heroin. My guy is one of the reasons that heroin came to
America. Yeah.
Okay. No. They got him on accounts for prostitution, and he got 62 charges for that. That's 30 to 50 years in prison.
But I think they wanted to get him for everything, and they were like, we cannot get this guy for anything else because he's too squeaky clean. And they found him on something, and they just put him away.
And while he's in prison, okay, we need to talk about how epic this man is, okay? Because while he's in prison, he is basically running the place,
prison.
Okay? He has a private chef.
Who does that?
He's wearing his suits all nice there. He is allowed visitors at any time.
He built a church.
Built a church.
In the prison.
In the prison.
Like nobody else had authority to do any. It's like they called him in to run the prison. It's like he wasn't arrested.
The warden knew Luciano was in charge and he ran the criminal empire.
Yeah.
From behind bars,
yeah.
Okay? He did name an acting boss. He named Vito Genovese acting
yeah.
boss until Vito Genovese had an affair with his cousin, killed his cousin's husband, and then got in trouble for that and had to flee to Italy.
But that's the thing with the mob. That's the thing. One thing that the mob is big on is family. They don't play with their family.
Yeah.
Once you're family, you are like family. But if you mess up...
Yeah, but marrying
you
your cousin...
Dead.
He married his cousin.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, that is.
He's 6 months.
Who would want to? I wouldn't want to.
No,
but that's the thing with the mob as well. If they kill people 5-6 days of the week, like I have killed 6 people, on Sunday,
they go to church.
That they are in church,
yep.
and they do it every single Sunday. They are
Catholics.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. It's very hypocritical, but...
They basically going to church to
yeah.
wash away what they did that week, and then the next week, back
anyway, again. After Genovese fled to Italy, Castello took over. But here gets the interesting part, right? So World War II breaks out.
Yeah.
We have the attack on Pearl Harbor. And the government is like, oh, flip. Oh, no, this can happen at any time. So guess who they turned to?
Luciano.
The mob. Because the mob had control of the dock.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well then reduce your sentence if you help protect our docks. Imagine that.
That's how powerful they are. I don't think we understand that because these people had the army, they have the Marines, they have the FBI, they have the CIA, and they go to the mob.
Anyway, World War II ends. Unfortunately, Thomas Dewey, who had now become governor, doesn't stand firm on his promise, and he does get Luciano out of prison, but he is then deported to Italy, where he does still basically run his empire. Later on, Luciano makes his way to Cuba. Guys, that's a place I want to go. I'm sorry.
Cuba's beautiful, and they've kept it pretty much the same.
It literally looks like you're walking into the 50s with the cars and everything. So he goes to Cuba, and this is where they have the Havana Conference, the one with Frank Sinatra that we basically spoke about earlier. And this is when he's like, okay, first of all, we're going to bring heroin from Italy into Cuba, into the States.
Yeah.
And also to try and get money to start up Vegas, which again we'll get to with our next guy.
Yeah.
Which is also very interesting. And unfortunately, the U.S. government is like, we can't have this man's on our doorstep. And they pressure the Cuban government. And he's sent back to Italy, where he then died in 1962.
Of a heart attack.
So anticlimactic.
That is so anticlimactic. I would have loved to see, like, a assassination. Okay, I don't know.
No, I don't want him to be assassinated. He grossed over $12 million a year. Okay, he was the most wealthiest and most powerful crime boss of the time. He lived in the Waldorf Astoria. That is one of the most expensive hotels you can book at, okay?
Yeah.
He lived the life of celebrities. He grew up on the streets of New York, and he said, you would look up to these gangsters. They would be in these fresh-cut suits, diamonds on their fingers. Mm. Everyone would be around them. They owned these clubs. They stayed in the most fancy.
Yeah.
What little boy doesn't want to be like that?
Yeah.
And that's what then drew them in to do the dirty work and get into the gangs. Unfortunately, not all of them ended up
in the top ranks, because you have to do quite a bit to get there.
He lived an extravagant lifestyle. And in 1998, Time magazine named him one of the most influential builders and titans of the 20th century.
For me, that's like, why not then do crime?
I'm sorry.
Going to reach. And the next person, Benjamin Siegel. I think their parents should ask them, are you going to be a gangster, and then name them appropriately. But we are going to call him as how he was known.
Bugsy. So he got the nickname oh my soul. Let me quickly. Sorry. Luciano got the name Lucky because he was captured, tortured for 8 hours, stabbed and left for dead, and by some miracle survived, and they said he was lucky. Sorry, I forgot we have to...
But every single time they asked him why his name was lucky, he gave a different account.
It was to create this myth of who he was.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Bugsy, because when you said someone was Bugs, you said they were basically nuts in the head.
This guy was nuts.
And he was kind of nuts. He was ruthless. He was the killer who liked to make his victims suffer. He's the guy that if you do not pay the mob back, he is coming after you. And there was a rule. You will pay the mob back before you pay the bank back.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a thing. He was born in Brooklyn in New York in 1906, and he died in California in 1947.
He was murdered. We'll get there.
She's so disappointed.
I am so disappointed. I'm like, why?
He was Jewish, and he lived in the crime-ridden section of Brooklyn, and that's basically then where he started his criminal life.
Yeah.
By basically, he extorted people from a young age. And he met Langsy when he was young, and then he later on befriended Luciano when they were 15 years old. He was very, very violent, okay? And I was speaking about how you would pay back the mafia, and that was because after the Roaring Twenties, you know, the Great Depression hit.
Yeah.
So banks didn't have money to loan out. Who do you go to? Loan sharks.
Who
are the loan sharks? The mafia. Could you imagine that guy knocking on your door because you haven't paid your dues? Guys,
I would like give him my house because like there's nothing you can do at that point. It's very weird to see how many of these mob guys started off with basically threatening people and saying, pay me and I'll give you protection. And you ask them, what do I need protection from?
They used to do that.
And then they like, you need protection from me. So pay me, otherwise
I'm going to...
That was the coolest part of their lives. And that was at teenage ages also.
Yeah, they used to. They would say, okay... We will protect you.
Yeah.
Don't pay, and then you're going to need protection from me. But he was reportedly part of the Masseria shooting. And now we are going to talk about Murder Incorporated.
And this organized crime group
was active. Where can I sign up?
It's not active anymore.
Because that makes me sad.
1939 to 1941, and it acted.
You should start Murderess Incorporated. No, I'm joking.
You need
guys, don't
two more
to
people.
Me. They were. I'm sure we can find someone.
But you guys need to be bugs, because we're not playing with. I'm joking, cops, but other people, I'm not joking. If you want to join,
DM me on Instagram. We'll figure a way.
It acted as the enforcement arm of the Italian-American mafia, and it was basically also acting as the enforcement arm of the Jewish mob.
So basically what happened was there was a bunch of guys, and from the commission, you'd get an assassination order. It would be passed down to them. They would kill, and no trace would be
they
left.
They basically were the people that executed the plan.
Exactly. And these people went under the radar for years until one of their former members got captured and started ratting them out.
Yeah.
And when Luciano found that out, he had that guy killed.
Yeah.
Because we cannot have these people being ratted out.
No.
Not a chance. Uh-uh. Not happening.
Who starts an organization called Murder, Inc.? I'm like...
Guys, for each murder could cost you up to $1,000 to $5,000. And that's 1920s. Imagine.
Right now.
Imagine.
But these people were professional. You don't want someone that is not professional doing the job. You want
they would like burn off the fingertips of their victims.
Yeah.
No blood, no nothing. You guys wouldn't find the
that's
wouldn't
the type
find
of
the body.
Murder.
Okay.
No. Okay, it's not good, but like really? This is interesting stuff.
He moved to California and he became very much indulged in the Hollywood lifestyle.
Yeah.
He was big with actors, actresses, directors. He went to red carpet.
He was good looking as well. So everybody
was
taken by Bugsy.
And what he then realized from being in Hollywood was that there was money to be made by these rich people gambling.
Yeah.
And he had an idea. We love it when we have ideas.
And
he went to Luciano. He said, I have an idea. There, Las Vegas, not Las Vegas, Nevada. In Nevada, gambling is legal.
Yeah.
So, let's build a hotel in the middle of the desert and make this exotic resort where these rich people can come and spend their money. Sounds like a brilliant plan.
Yeah.
Okay? It is because of that hotel, named the Flamingo, that we have Las Vegas today. Okay? It started...
The entire
what
Las
became
Vegas trip.
Las Vegas, okay?
Yeah.
And he built his hotel. Unfortunately, Mans was not good at budgeting, so he went very over budget. And this is
way
where his problems started.
Over budget.
And especially because opening night, it rained, so no one came to opening night. So they had to close the doors of the hotel and reopen it a couple months later.
Yeah.
But then it really did start booming. And you can go to this hotel. It is still open in Vegas. It's just been, like, revamped. And they said they had the best restaurants, pools, the best rooms, and basically any game, card game and whatever he wanted to play. So
and he named it the Flamingo after one of his girlfriend's nicknames.
Yeah.
Like, these people were, like, living the life. They were not even joking. They had the prettiest girls. They had, listen.
But here came the problem. If the casino was booming... Why were none of the mobsters being paid back for the money they'd been put into building this?
Bugsy. I could imagine Luciano saying that. I trusted you, Bugsy.
I can just imagine. He's all the way in Italy being like, this idiot.
Idiot, right? Oh, my goodness.
And this is where the problem came in, because then the five families are like, money, where is it? Like, hand it over.
And this guy is quiet with all the money.
And... Frank Costello and Maya Lansky have this conversation and they're like, what are we going to do? And next thing we know, Bugsy's at home, and next thing, shots are fired.
And he's dead.
He's dead.
If you look at the picture, it's very gruesome.
It is very gruesome. And 20 minutes later, Maya Langsi's men take over the casino floors.
They did not waste time. What I like about the mob is if they're killing you, they're killing you for a reason.
Yep.
They have a plan in place. It's not like we're killing you, then we're going to figure out. No, well, they've already planned every detail.
With Murder Incorporated, they would take 3 to 4 weeks to plan an assassination.
Yeah.
They didn't just, okay, you want Bob dead, let's go shoot Bob.
Yeah,
no.
These people are smart. That's why it's organized crime.
It's organized crime.
They're not just shooting people or whatever. I love it.
Guys, it was a...
I don't love it, but I do love it.
I wish.
And that's basically
Theories. Well, the one theory is that it was an organized hit. There was another theory that it was his girlfriend's brother, because apparently he didn't treat his girlfriend too great. Well, he is a mobster.
Someone who starts Murder Inc. is murdered by someone's brother. That was an organized hit. There's no... He would have seen it coming, and he would have killed... This guy is the same guy that when there was a snitch that was trying to put him in prison and the people around him in prison, he killed all of them. And then every single witness that would step onto the stand, he killed them.
Can I tell you a story about this guy?
Yeah.
So how they got into Joe the Boss's gang was that they saw him, Joe the Boss, and Frank Costello go after a guy who hadn't paid his dues. And they shot the guy and the guy only had like $30 on him cash. So Joe said to Frank, check if he's got gold teeth.
Yeah.
Joe leaves and Lucky, Bugsy and Langsy were watching from like behind a car. And they then went up, Frank Costello sees them and he's like, oh great, now I got to shoot kids. And they're like, no wait, we'll help you. And Bugsy took a brick and he's 15. Starts hammering the guy's heads and gets all the gold teeth and hands them over Frank Costello. And that's how these guys then got
incorporated
together.
Crime. Yeah.
So I was like, damn, at the whole age of 50. So from then, the guy was violent. Because as soon as they stepped up, Luciano was like, Bugsy, do your thing. And there were videos of him. He would literally beat you with pipes and smash bottles over your head and... He was a guy that if you didn't do what they wanted, this guy would have
killed you. No way someone's brother killed this man. This man would have smelted coming from a mile away. This needed to be people that were way above his payroll.
I agree.
Way above.
But that is it for our two gangsters this week. And do not fret, we will be doing many episodes. Because there are so many gangsters I can talk about. Guys, can I tell you, when I started doing research, I normally put in like... an hour, maybe two.
Yeah.
I ended up watching a 6-hour documentary. That's how
I am
far in the rabbit hole I fell.
Soon. It literally pulls you in. You get so excited as you're watching it. You
and can I tell you, it's quite funny. You're watching the documentary and you are wishing that this damn detective gets shot. You're like, stop it!
Yeah.
Leave them alone! Even though I know they're doing crime. I'm like,
when they sent Luciano away to Italy, I was so distraught. I was like, how could they do that? Who's going to run it better than him now? Why would they?
Can
like,
I also tell
you're
you?
You're on the side of the monsters.
Can I tell you? You know you have to be epic. Because after the St. Valentine's Day massacre, people were angry with Al Capone because it turned attention onto the mob. They liked to run underground. They didn't want to be known.
Yeah.
But that drew attention. And the mob, they said to him, Luciano, go talk to your friend. And Luciano said, okay, Capone, my guy... You need to hand yourself in. We'll get you the best lawyers. And they did. And he only got 1 year in prison for it. So, you know you have to be epic when you have to go rein in Al Capone.
Right?
That's just so epic.
Yeah, that is. Because we know that these people... Oh, the 30s was just...
The 1920s and... I was born in the wrong century. And I will say it time and time again. I should have been born in... Well, I was born in 2001. I should have been born in... 1901. That would have been great, guys. Fabulous.
And then you'd have been around 20.
I would have been 20
perfect
in the 20s.
Timing.
Perfect timing.
Like bank robberies, speakeasies, everything.
Even the clothes, the music, guys.
Everything.
Like Lorleen said, the best way for you to capture this is go and watch The Great Gatsby.
You actually see Gatsby pull his card out.
He pulls a card out.
I didn't know it was you, Mr. Gatsby. Sorry.
That is the level.
What it was.
It shows you the extent of the partying and the bootlegging.
Yeah.
And how basically twisted people were back then, and how you could literally end up on like 5 million people's hit list.
I mean, he was in the speakeasy, and he's like, over there's the governor, and over there's the mayor of. Literally, exactly. These people used to run in the same circles as the politicians, the every person of influence. They were there.
They had everyone in their pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Luciano, the one thing he said, he was like, "We've got half the judges in our pocket."
Yeah.
Like, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do?
What
guys?
Are you gonna do?
And. Guys, it's just another... Guys, I was born in the wrong sense.
But that has been Mobs. We are definitely going to do
We will be
more.
Back. We will definitely...
With
definitely
organized crime.
Be back. But for now, till next time...
Peace and killings.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Twitter and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at
/ActiveFM.